Amen. That was great. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. The book of Matthew, chapter number 1. I'd like to say a big thank you from my wife and I to you, all of you dear folks who've been so good to us and poured out your blessings upon us at Christmas time. You know who you are. God bless every one of you. And it was a blessing. Wonderful. I got a New York Yankee plaque at the house. That was pretty good right there, you know. Yes. She knows who she is that got it for me. If I could get away with it, I'd hug her neck, but I'm not going to do that. We appreciate you being here. Appreciate everything that's been given to us. I mean that. God bless you. We're humbled. We're humbled by the goodness of this church to us. And I'm thanking you publicly because I want you to know that. From the banana pudding, amen. To the money, to the gifts. I had a dear person in this church that gave me a laptop. Isn't that something? I need it. So I'm not confined to my office anymore. I'm studying where I go now, you know. He knows who he is and his dear wife. God bless him. You've been good to me, and I thank you for it. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you. I mean that. I mean it. Can you tell I mean it? I mean it. I really do. Matthew chapter 1, all the things, the gift cards, the money, the cards, the everything, whatever. There's nothing small when it comes to a gift. And we praise you and thank you for it. Praise the Lord for you and what you did for us. I don't want to beat it over the head too much, but I do want you to know that we're appreciative of everything, the candy and all of it. God bless you. I salute you. I'm looking for more of it. No, I'm just kidding with you. Very good. It's good to have our preacher in the service today. Always good to have Moses in our midst. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In verse number 23, the Bible says, a virgin shall be with child. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for the good number that has come this way. And again, Lord, I praise you for who you are today. We're reminded around this Christmas season, as gifts have been thrown around everywhere, we're reminded that the book of James tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. And we thank you and praise you for all that we have as a result of who you are. May you bless us this morning. Give me these dear folks undivided attention. And would you speak through me to them? And would you speak to me as well? I need something from you. May it be a time of edification where these dear folks are challenged. If somebody is here under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus as their Savior, may the Holy Spirit do your office work of conviction. And may, Lord, they be converted before it's too late. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important to understand that the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is one of the fundamentals of our faith. Now, what a fundamental is an essential. For instance, if you take your car, your air conditioning, whether you realize it or not, is not a fundamental of your vehicle. In other words, you can live without your air conditioning, whether you know it or not. Your windows are not a fundamental. But you take something like the tires, you take the oil, you take the gasoline, you take the steering wheel, now you're talking about fundamentals. In other words, without those things, it ceases to exist.
It doesn't operate. In the Christian life, there are so many things that are not fundamentals. And a lot of those things are what people get tied up on. But what I'm saying to you is that there are certain fundamentals of the Christian faith. Now, what I mean by that is this: if you deny these, you're lost. You cannot deny the virgin birth and be a child of God. It's impossible. Because the virgin birth is a fundamental of our faith. It means it's absolutely essential. Without it, there's no Christianity. It's a fundamental. Now today what I want to dwell on is I want to dwell on this virgin birth. Because we're around Christmas time. I know it's over, but we're still thinking about it and dwelling on it. And in our text before us, we see the virgin birth of Jesus Christ crystal clear. As a matter of fact, there are three separate things I notice about the virgin birth. This doctrine, that is a fundamental. In other words, the God of heaven is born into this world by the means of the virgin birth. Now, because of that, there's three things I want to draw your attention to about the virgin birth. Now, the first two I'm just going to tap on the head and really dwell on point number three, number one. The first thing we notice about the virgin birth of Christ is it was foretold. We see this in verses 22 and 23 of our text in Matthew. Look at it. It says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled," get this, "which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now in verse 22 it says, "which was spoken of the prophet," of the Lord, "by the prophet." Verse 23 says, "A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son." This is a direct prophecy that takes us back to Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 that says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." The interesting thing is back in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, that was a prophecy, a foretelling, if you will. It was foretold concerning the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, get this, that was given over 700 years before it took place. Are you listening to me? That is one major, major thought that tells me that this book I hold in my hand is the Word of God. Because of fulfilled prophecy, there's no doubt about it. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." It's interesting that over 700 years before Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, it was foretold. That's a blessing. Think about it. Number one, the virgin birth was foretold. Number two, it was fulfilled. We see this in verses 18 and following of our text. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." The Bible goes on to say, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Look at verse 22. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying," look at verse 25, "and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." What am I saying? I'm saying the virgin birth of Jesus Christ was foretold 700 years before it took place. Number two, it was fulfilled. In other words, it did literally happen. The Bible says in verse 18, "Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled." Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, 20 and 21, talks about the young child, get this, and his mother. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter number 2, don't turn to it, but in Luke chapter 2, verse number 33, it's interesting here how this right here protects the virgin birth and the deity of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 33, the Bible says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Now we know that legally speaking, Joseph was a daddy to him. But Joseph was not the literal father of Jesus Christ. What I mean by that, this right here tells us that his mother and Joseph, not his father. And what I'm saying to you here is that Jesus Christ was truly born of the Virgin Mary. It was fulfilled. The Bible plainly teaches that he was born of the Virgin before she came together with Joseph. In verse 25, it says he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Number one, the virgin birth was foretold. Number two, it was fulfilled. I told you I was just going to tap those two. Here we go. Number three, it was fundamental. Now again, the word fundamental means it's essential. It was literally, absolutely essential that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Now stay with me here. Without the virgin birth, we have no hope of salvation. You cannot remove the virgin birth and still have Christianity. It's impossible. Now, I want to look at this closely. I'm going to explain myself. Now, notice this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man," talking about Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Why has death passed upon you and me? Because of the one man by the name of Adam. Now, because Adam sinned, get this, because Adam sinned, we who are born from a physical birth, a natural physical birth, a mom and a dad, we have inherited the sin nature. Because we get the sin nature from the one man by the name of Adam. Everybody with me so far? Now, the virgin birth, however, guarantees that Jesus Christ did not inherit Adam's sin nature. He inherited his father's sinless nature. Let me repeat it. You and I are sinners by inheritance. You were born in this world because your mom and your dad, who were both sinners, came together. God blessed their union, and you were born, but nobody had to teach you to do bad. Just like that little baby girl that's at home. Well, she's in the nursery, probably tearing it to death back there. But it's interesting. I mean, she's a little over 18 months old, but it's interesting. You don't have to teach her to do bad. You have to teach her to do good. She's just like her daddy. I got you, didn't I? What am I saying? Why is it that way? Because the Bible's true. She's a sinner. She's got the old nature in her. But when Jesus Christ was born by means of the virgin birth, he didn't inherit Adam's sin nature. Let this sink in a minute, folks. He inherited God the Father's sinless nature. Now, because of that, that means it is fundamental. And let me show you what this means. Because he was born of a virgin. I'm about to get happy right here. Because he was born of a virgin, there are several things that's true. Number one, he is God. We see this in verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. By the way, there's been a Jehovah Witness that's been attacking one of our ladies. And I told that lady to tell her the next time she comes over that her pastor will be glad to sit down with her, but never come back to her house again. By the way, how many of y'all ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Raise your hand. If you ever let them in, you're crazy. By the way, that's not biblical to let them in your house. Amen. Listen, don't bid them Godspeed. You say, "Jody, that's unkind." No, it's not. Their doctrine is sending them to hell. And they're trying to confuse you. And I'm going to show you something. Their big thing is Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. And I've done this before, and I'm going to do it again. And I'm telling you that Jehovah is Jesus Christ. Jehovah is God. That's right. But Jehovah is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, "Jody, prove it to me." Thank you for asking me. Now I'm gonna. What I want you to do, I want you to flip back and forth with me here. If you're sitting beside somebody that does not have a Bible, I want you to let them look off of yours. Because I'm going to go from the Old Testament Jehovah and show you that it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now stay with me here. Flip over to Isaiah chapter number 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Let me ask you a question. Is Jehovah God? Yes. But Jehovah is Jesus. Prove it. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 8. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord. Now, anytime you see the word Lord, and it has all capital letters, like right there, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the designated name for Jehovah. Everybody with me? That's Jehovah, okay? Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Now, notice, and he shall be for a sanctuary. Now, notice this. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So right here we see that Jehovah is known as a stumbling block and a rock of offense, right? Right or wrong? There it is. Now hold your place in Isaiah because we're going to stay in Isaiah a while. Flip over to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8. Now I know we're flipping here a little bit, but it is so important that you see this. That Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Jehovah is Jesus. Jesus is God. He's God by means of the virgin birth. Now stay with me here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 6 through 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now notice that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse number 5. So it's speaking of the Lord Jesus, okay? Then it goes on to say this in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is the head of the corner. Here it is, verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Do you see it? Talking about Jesus Christ, verse 5. In Isaiah chapter 8, 13 to 15, Jehovah is a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. Let's go on. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24. Isaiah 44 verse 24. Hold your finger in Isaiah now. Thus saith the Lord. All capital letters, so who's it talking of? That's Jehovah God. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. Stay with me now. That stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now what does Jehovah say about himself here? He's the creator. He created all things. That's right there, isn't it? Sure it is. Now stay with me. Hold your place in Isaiah. Flip over to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Keep in mind, Jehovah God here is the creator. He created all things. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. Now again, this is talking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In context, you see that from verses 7 and following. In verse number 7, the latter word is Christ. Is talking about in verse number 13, the kingdom of his dear Son in whom we have redemption. Verse 14, who's the image of the invisible God, talking about the Son. Now notice verse 16, for by him were all things created. Amen. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, all things were created by him and for him. Now Jehovah God, back in Isaiah 44, says he created everything by himself. Yet Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says that Jesus Christ created all things. Somebody's lying, or Jesus is Jehovah. Amen. Now listen, I'm doing this because this ought to bless your heart today. It really ought to. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11.
I've got about 8 or 9 of these. I know we're taking time to look at this, but it's important. You need to understand something. Jesus Christ is God. He is. You need to know how to prove it too. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 11, look at it. I am the Lord, all caps, there he is, Jehovah. And beside me, there is no Savior. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 10. Here it is. Right here, Jehovah says in Isaiah 43:11, he is the only Savior. There is no other Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy 1:10 it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So Jehovah is the only Savior in Isaiah 43, but yet Jesus Christ is identified as our Savior in 2 Timothy 1:10. Good night, that's making me happy right there. What's that saying? That means this, Jehovah's Jesus, folks. Jesus is Jehovah. He is God. Isaiah 44:6. Since we're in Isaiah, let's just stay in Isaiah just a little while here. Look at Isaiah 44:6. Now I'm just going to have you look in Isaiah, and then I'm going to turn to the other scriptures so we can get going a little bit faster here. But in Isaiah 44:6, listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, all caps, Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Here it is. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Sound familiar? I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm Alpha. I'm Omega. Sound familiar? Sure it does. Because over in the book of Revelation, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but in Revelation chapter number 1 and verses 8, 11, and 17, here's what it says. Now this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it's all in red letters because it's the Lord speaking. Jesus Christ. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. It goes on to say in verse number 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. It says in verse number 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet, as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now we're only about halfway through here. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11, and John chapter 10, verse 11, it gives us something else. Now, I know you're hoping that the other points under this go a lot faster than this. I know that. But I think it's interesting that you see this. I do this just every now and then in this church, and it's important. Amen. So I don't believe Jesus is God. You listening? If that's what you believe, you're not going to heaven. Amen. I'll amen myself, because that's the truth. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11, look at it. Behold, the Lord God, there it is, all caps, capital G-O-D, will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Don't turn to it, but in John chapter number 10 and verse number 11, Jesus said himself, I am the good shepherd. Amen. Let me show you something else here. Isaiah 45, verse number 23. I'm just about done here because I know that this can become monotonous a little bit, but I'm just trying to show you something, that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is God. How's that possible? The virgin birth. Amen. He's God, folks. Now, he was God before the virgin birth, but we realize that because Jesus Christ, who is God, was born of a virgin, it was God becoming man. Therefore, you and I have a Savior. Look at Isaiah 45, 23. The Bible says, I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth. Now this is the Lord speaking here. I'm talking about Jehovah. Verse number 21. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth. Verse 23, in righteousness and shall not return. And unto me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Sound familiar? Well, over in the book of Philippians, you don't need to turn to it. Just wait on me here. In Philippians chapter number 2, verses 10 and 11, the Bible tells us this. It says this in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that being in time past," it says, "the Gentiles who are called uncircumcision by that which is called," I'm not even Philippians. I'm sorry about that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "That at the name of Jesus," now notice this, "that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now in Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8, you don't need to turn to it here. Chapter 48 verse 11, "The Lord Jehovah said that he has glory and he will not share it with anybody else." You can read it for yourself later. But in John chapter 17 verse 5, Jesus said the glory that he had with his Father. What does all that tell us? Now in Psalm 95 verse 3, the Bible says that Jehovah is the King of Kings. Yet in 1 Timothy 6, 14 and 15, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Now what does this tell us? Here's what it tells us. It either tells us that this book we hold in our hand is a lie, or Jesus is God. And I know which one it is, and you do too. Amen. The virgin birth, why is it fundamental? Number one, he's God. Number two, he's sinless. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter 2, 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Hebrews 4, 15, speaking of Jesus, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin." You know what the virgin birth guarantees? Guarantees God visited us. That's what it guarantees. It guarantees, secondly, that he is sinless. He never sinned. That leads me to my third point. Because he is God and he is sinless, number three, he paid our sin debt. The Bible tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 and following, it says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." The Bible goes on to say, "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified," get this, "by through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," talking about Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." The Bible says in Romans 5, 11, "We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." See, Deuteronomy 6, 23, where the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, every other person other than the Lord Jesus Christ would have to say that they've sinned. Everybody. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. You ever sin? Just one time? Then that right there is enough that you must have a sinless sacrifice to die in your place. Now, because Jesus Christ was not born by natural birth, I'm talking about a literal man and woman, he was born of the virgin, he was sinless. He had no sin, which means he had no wages. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus had no sin. Therefore, he didn't have to die because he had never sinned. But the Bible says he chose to lay his life down because he was God, because he was sinless. He could then pay our sin debt. It's fundamental. That's why you can sing, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And the reason he could pay that debt is because he was born of the Virgin Mary. He was sinless. He was God. And he could pay our debt for us. Then number four, I've got two more and I'm closing. Number four, he is the Savior. We see that in verse 21 of our text back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. John 4:42, we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he was born of the Virgin, he was not only God, he not only lived a sinless life, he not only paid our sin debt, but he is our Savior because of the virgin birth. Then number five, and I'm going to try to close as soon as I can here. You know that doesn't mean anything. And number five, I like this. He destroyed the devil. Oh, I like that. I'll be honest with you. I hope the Lord lets me look in whenever he cast him to the lake of fire. I hope he does. I do. Because I hate him. I don't hate anybody else, but I hate him. I can't stand him. I'm talking about the devil, the one that's after you and after your marriage. The one that's after your children, your grandchildren. The one that seems like everything's going his way right now. You listening to me? I've read the back of the book, folks. I know how everything turns out. And I hope that the Lord lets me look in when he's getting ready to throw him into the lake of fire. And I'm going to say, bye-bye, buddy. Never see you again. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why that's possible. Because Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. That's why it's possible. Matter of fact, when you think of what the devil did back in the Garden of Eden. Talking about when he enticed Eve and Adam and Eve sinned. What came as a result of that? Sin, right? The curse, right? And death. Am I right or wrong? Do you realize that the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary has undone all three of those things? All three of them. You say, what do you mean? Stay with me. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Here we go. Sin calls back in the Garden of Eden. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, he lived a sinless, perfect life. He laid his life down. He was resurrected, and he's coming back again. Anybody who is under the curse of sin, and that's everybody, who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and confesses their sin to him, he takes that curse of sin, and he snaps it, and he gives them the righteousness of God in its place. Good night. I'm talking about the devil called sin. The Lord defeated and destroyed the work of sin with the virgin birth and the death and the burial and the resurrection. The devil calls the curse back in the Garden of Eden. Yet in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What a verse. Back in the Garden of Eden, the sin was caused, the curse was caused, and because of that, death came on the scene. Yet in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, starting with verse number 54, the Bible tells us this, and I want you to listen to it. It says right here in verse number 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I heard Curtis Hudson say one time about verse number 55, where it says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He's saying one time, whenever it's going to be, whenever the Lord comes back and raptures his church, which could happen today, it could happen tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to come as a thief in the night. And those who are alive will look down and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? But those who have died in the Lord, when the Lord comes back, he's going to resurrect them, and they're going to shout, oh, grave, where is thy victory? And what I'm saying to you is that death has been destroyed by the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It is fundamental to our faith. You must understand this, that without the virgin birth, there is no Savior. There is no victory over death. There is no curse being broken. Our sin will condemn us to hell. But Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He was God come in human flesh. He lived a sinless life. He paid our debt. He is our Savior. And we who know him, we don't have the curse of sin and the curse and death that's going to get the final victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you have lost a loved one, and our heart goes out to you. I was just with Mr. Curley yesterday. I'm just about through. I was just with Mr. Curley yesterday. Mr. Curley looked at me and Becky, and he began to weep. I've never seen him this emotional. He began to weep, and he said, I want you to stop praying that God will heal me. He said, I want you to share with the church. I want you to share with them and ask them to pray that God take me home. I looked at him and I said, that's in the Lord's hands, Mr. Curley. He said, I know it. And he said, that's all I want. He looked at me and he said, he began to weep and he said, I'm tired. I'm just tired. And I think to myself, what if that was the end? What if that was it? Hey, you all who've lost a loved one, if it's like your heart's been ripped out of your chest, what if that was it? What if you'd never see him again? What am I saying? I'm saying this. Because Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, it's not the end. You'll see them again if they know the Lord. And the next time you see them, there'll be no more death. No more pain. Mr. Curley told me this. I'm referring to him a lot because he had a lot of influence in my life. He said, I want to step out of this body. That's precious. That's precious. Why does he want to step out? Let me tell you why. Because he knows there's something better awaiting him. Let me tell you why. The virgin birth. Don't you ever belittle it. Because of the virgin birth. Now, it's not just the virgin birth, you understand. It's also his sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. But the virgin birth, since we're around Christmas time, it is fundamental. And may God cause our hearts to burst with gratitude, saying, he who's God became man so that when I close my eyes here, I can wake up there. I don't really think that any of us fully understand what all the Lord did for us when he came. But we can rejoice in the prospects of sitting around this throne for all eternity and saying, would you help me understand that? Show me what that means. I didn't understand this, Lord. What do you mean by that? Can you imagine?
and everything just... Amen. I don't even know how to close this thing, really. That's rare for me. But I'm just rejoicing in my heart that the Lord was born of a virgin. And what it means to us now. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, would you take this? This is more of an encouraging message. More of what we have who are saved. At the same time, I pray, Lord, that you'll help those who are lost, who may be here today, to see what they're missing out on. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits, do your will. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play. Let me just deal with you the way I'd feel the Lord have me do it. If you're saved today, there's only one reason that that's true, and that's because Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin. Because he was born of the Virgin, he who was God became flesh. I don't fully understand that. You don't either. But you know, you don't have to. All you have to do is believe it. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross of Calvary for you. And because he was God and he lived a sinless life, then he could take your debt because he had no debt to pay himself. If you're saved today, you ought to rejoice that sin has been broken, that the curse has been snapped, and that death will not have the final say in your life because the Savior has redeemed you. Have you say, Jody, I'm glad that I've trusted Christ. I'm glad that I know the virgin-born Son of God. I'm glad I've been saved. I know that. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You say, I know I've done that. God bless you. Thank you. If you didn't raise your hand to that, I want to say thank you for being honest. And I want you to know something. If you respond in just a moment, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know how to proceed with the invitation. Is there one here today? You say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to get in on this Savior, the one who can snap the sin bondage and the curse and death. See, death comes to all, but for some it's the end. For others, it's just the beginning. It's the beginning to eternity. And you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I could not raise my hand to that question. I'm being honest. I could not raise my hand. Would you be an honest person? Again, I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. But you say, Jody, this is me. I could not raise my hand to it. Would you be honest right now? Would you put your hand in the air, please? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. I'm looking around the auditorium, in the balcony, down below. You say, Jody, I'm not sure. I couldn't raise my hand. I could not raise my hand. Anybody at all? I'm looking. That's fine if there's not. If we're all saved in here, that's wonderful. But is there one that says, I just don't know? I'm not sure. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But I believe the Lord had me in mind when you preached this message because I needed to be reminded of everything he's done for me. I needed to be reminded of this. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. That's several hands, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Two more questions here. Number one, is somebody convicted because he's done so much for you and you've spent so little time telling other people about it? And you say, Jody, would you pray for me that I'd be a better witness? I realize that this message needs to go around the world and I need to do my part in a better way. Anybody, God, dealing with you that way, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you. Thank you. Yes, good. Now I ask this final question. Have you, let's say in the last 5 years, I hate to put a timetable on it, but matter of fact, let me ask it this way. How many of y'all are still dealing
with a loss that you've had in your family. Whether it be a dad, a wife, a brother, a sister, be honest. Would you raise your hand up? Put it up in the air, please. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower your hand, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look at me, please. That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. I'm having you look at me because there's so many of you. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know who you're looking at me for. And God knows if the person you're looking at me for was not a Christian, there's no comfort in that. I'm not going to try to comfort you in it. But if they were a Christian, because of the virgin birth, this is not the end. It's not the end. I'm glad it's not the end. We need to praise God. Those that we see again are saved. It's only possible. It's only possible because of what He did. What He did. All praise belongs to God. Maybe many of you would like to come. Just ask God to help you keep this in your mind. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Break it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If you responded to anything and you feel the Lord would have you come, would you leave your place now? Would you leave your place now? And would you come as He sings? God help you to come. Would you do it? Come now. Please.
Have thine own way, Lord.
If you feel God would have you do it, then you come.
Thou art the
if not, don't.
Potter, I
may
am
the Lord help
me. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting.
They're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way, please. People are responding. You know, sometimes I wish I could come into your home, open your heart, take it out, and put a new one in, and all the hurt would be away. All the pain would vanish. And by the way, it's not a bad thing to grieve. It's not a bad thing to be in pain. But in your grieving, allow the Lord to minister to your heart. Whether you realize it or not, He loves them a whole lot more than you did. And that you do. Doesn't seem possible, does it? But He does. And I share this with you. I'm taking a little time this morning. I know that. I don't do this a lot, but I feel like I'm helping somebody. The Word of God tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if they're absent from their body and they were saved, they're with the Lord. Yet the Lord told you He'll never leave you, never forsake you. So if they're with the Lord and the Lord's with you, then they can't be too far behind. You know? May the Lord help you with it. God bless you. Amen. I hate to even change this right here, but I'm going to do something. He may kill me. You may kill me. You may kill me. I'm going to ask Brother John Rourke if he wouldn't mind to make his way down here, please. I know he's probably going to kill me for this. Stephanie, won't you come with him? Brother John leaves tomorrow for Iraq for a year. I want to have special prayer for him. I'm going to ask our preacher, if you wouldn't mind, sir, just to come and lay your hands on him. I'm going to ask those who may feel led, the men in this auditorium who may feel led to do this, I want you to come and I want you to just gather around this family. And let's ask the Lord to help him, protect him. All the men would like to do that. Won't you come? This will be our closing prayer, okay? Everybody understand that? This will be our closing prayer right here. And I remind the visitors who are here, if you're visiting with us for the first time and you have a visitor's card, as soon as the last amen is said, if you'll take that visitor's card to the Welcome Center, drop it off. We've got a special gift just for you. God bless you. Please be back tonight as Brother Graham will be preaching. And may the Lord help in all of this. Let's all pray together, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great message this morning. We rejoice in a virgin-born Savior. Lord, we thank you. We revel in it this morning that, Lord, that you came and were born of a virgin and went to the cross and died, that one day when we slip out of this life, because of your death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We thank you, Lord, for the great hope that we have beyond this grave, beyond the Lord, that we'll live on and on while the ages roll because of a virgin-born Savior. And Lord, we thank you now for Brother Jody and this great message this morning. And Lord, thank you he took his stand so firmly on a virgin-born Savior. Oh, we thank you for that. Thank you, Brother Jody, and the way you're using him, Lord. I love him and thank you for him and continue to bless him and, Lord, use him. And now for John, Lord, he's grew up in this church and, Lord, he loves the Lord and loves his country and going over there to defend this country against the terrorism that we face from this Islamic terrorists today. And God, just help him and go with him and encamp around about him. And, Lord, protect him and watch over and take care of Stephen and these precious children. Lord, draw them close to thee and be a comfort to them and all the relatives, God, I pray, moms and dads now and that's related here. And I just pray you'd bless him. May this church stand behind John as he goes over there representing us and serving us and serving his country and his Lord. Bless him and watch over him now and take care of him and dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.